We're continuing in our study in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 25, these words that the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. And they're in the scripture today, and talked a little bit about that last time. And just again, pithy maxims. Solomon speaking to his children. Solomon uttering wise words of the Lord, our Heavenly Father, speaking to us. And may we take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts and lives. We might live what the Scripture says. It will be a benefit, a blessing, a help unto us indeed. The mind of God. If we think the way God thinks, we'll be thinking good, won't we? We won't have, as one brother preached years ago, we won't have that stinking thinking, all right? But we'll think on the right things, good things. We'll operate and conduct ourselves. Our conversation will be along the way that God would be pleased with, and that's what we need. We need that very much. We'll go ahead and read here at the beginning and then come down to the verse where we left off last time, in verse number 1. These are also the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. The heaven for height, the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Kings have a great responsibility. They have a great ability in their leadership, the place that God has put them in. And they can do many, many things, but yet even the king is responsible before the Lord. Take away, verse 4, the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. In kind, take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. A king just can't rule by himself. He needs help, and he needs righteous help to do so. May the Lord help our nation with righteous leadership and help for our leadership. Verse 6, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, stand not in the place of great men, for better is it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Self-promotion is not the thing to do. And say, well, Brother Jim, that's the reason I sit in the back. Well, no. Don't use this verse for that, okay? May we fill it up from the front going back, okay? And I'm in jest. But we need to not promote ourselves. We need to be patient and not promote ourselves. The Lord Jesus spoke about this in Luke 14, don't go to the highest place, go to the lowest, and then when you're bid to come up, then it'll be a right good thing. Verse 8, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou not know what to do in the end thereof. When thy neighbor hath put thee to shame, don't be looking to grapple and quarrel and all that when you don't even know what the issue's about. Maybe you might be taking the short end of the issue, and then it'll be a shameful place that you would arrive. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor, verse 9, himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. Deal with who the issue is with. Don't be found a tattler. Don't be found in a position to be called out for being a tattler, as an example. Verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. The right word at the right time. Boy, there is no substitute for that, is there? Not at all. May we be found, as the Lord said in the Beatitudes, may we be found to be peacemakers. It doesn't mean that we're are going to compromise. It's not speaking about compromise. But may we seek and ensue peace. May we represent things well. May we have a good word at the right time. It is a blessing indeed. Then we pick up in verse number 12. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Okay? Now, we, in our culture and the way that we live, it's not... men don't wear, I think naturally or normally in our culture, men don't wear ornaments or earrings and such as this. I don't think that we should. Our ladies do. And I believe that that's fine. Here, the contrast is an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, some real, real nice jewelry. That's what it's talking about. So it's pleasant, and if it's not overdone and it's in its right place, it's pleasant, it's pretty, it has a right appearing. So is a wise reprover on an obedient ear. An ear that's attached to one that is obedient to the truth and the right thing, that wise reprover is given good instruction. And that's a pleasant thing, too. Isn't it good when we're diverted? And this word reprover is talking about warning, okay? Rebuke is being found in the middle of a thing and needing to be corrected. But a reprover, if I understand that right in the scripture and that word, a reprover is one that's warning about an inappropriate path, an inappropriate way. And a reprover, a wise reprover on an obedient ear, that's a good thing too. Because the one that's hearing is helped. The one that's hearing is turned from calamity and from ruin and from harm. And it is a blessing indeed. It's good. Very good for an obedient ear to be reproved very well. That's a pleasant thing. Let's just think about our lives. Don't you and I, in some case, in something, wish we would have listened to the truth and we'd have been helped by that? We'd have been saved and spared some things? I think everybody can say that. Because it's better. Verse number 13, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, I found this verse interesting, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. So there's this faithful messenger, and he's sent by his master, and he can be trusted. And as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, evidently that's a good thing. It's a timely thing. There's a lot of work done in harvest, isn't there? And if it's cold, even if it's such that the ground is frozen, it makes it to where the work can be done well. And if it's cold enough for snow, or it's cold enough to be able to keep, and we think of the days in the scriptures where much work was done manually. You know, when we think about harvest, we think John Deere combine, right? I mean, that's the way we think. That's the way I think with all the farming that goes on around us. But if you had to be out in those fields harvesting that corn and harvesting that wheat, it'd be real nice for it to be cold, wouldn't it? And the thing is, it's cold enough for there to be things frozen, so the ground there's not a problem with the ground. It makes it easy to get around. As opposed to what it says in chapter 26 that we're coming to in verse number 1, you can look over there, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest. Now think about going and harvesting that corn, that wheat, those beans, that milo with rain. The grain's wet, the ground is sloppy, and if it's raining, it's not cold enough for it to be freezing. And here it is, as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Honor isn't a match for a fool, and so is rain in harvest, evidently, according to the scripture. Back in verse 13 of 25, at chapter 25, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, which is a good thing, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. He can be trusted. You give a message to this fella, he's going to take it. He's going to take it timely, and he's going to repeat the message very well. And so, even in that, that's instruction to us. If we're given a message, may we tell it right, that we might be a blessing. Verse 14, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Boy, especially in the time of drought, huh? When the drought is on and the clouds are seen and the wind begins to blow, but there's no rain. Whoso boasteth himself a false gift is the same way. Maybe he claims that he can help, but when it gets down to it, he can't. It's a disappointment. We put our trust, we put our confidence in one that said that they could help, and they can't. Or maybe it would be one from the standpoint of they say they have received a gift. How about the gift of salvation? They would claim that they are saved, but then when it comes time to reckon those things, or the product of their life is just not filled with fruit to say so. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. There's hope for rain when there are clouds, but if they're found empty, it's disappointment, isn't it? In Jude 12, take a look over here. In Jude verse 12, this same comparison or a comparison like this is made of some other folks, these clouds without rain. These that speak evil of things that they know not, verse number 10. Filthy dreamers in verse number 8. Peter refers to them as scoffers. Jude says, woe unto them. They've gone, in verse 11, they've gone after the way of Cain, self-will. They've gone after the reward of Balaam, wanting gain. They've gone after the doubting way of Korah, who doubted what God had set up. These are spots in your feast of charity, verse number 12, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. They have a claim, but they don't have it. Clouds are they without water, carried about with of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. May we not be that way. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Repent of your sins and trust in Him. And may we not declare ourselves to have a gift or have something when we do not. May we be truthful. Verse 15, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. This verse is interesting. I find that by long forbearing, a prince is persuaded of a thing. This word forbearing is talking about face or forehead. Now, there are other meanings, but in this context, I believe that these apply. Nose, nostril. What's that mean? Is there's one here that has a cause, and they, in a right way, are there before the prince bringing that cause. Not too little, not too much to make him angry. But they're there telling what is right and what needs to be done. And it says here, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. We don't have to get loud to tell the truth. Sometimes volume doesn't help a cause. I'm that way. I'm prone to use volume. And sometimes that doesn't help a cause. In Proverbs 15, verse 1, the Scripture says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. We can take and pour gasoline on a situation, so to speak. And it's natural for us to do that. May God help us that we do well with it and learn that. Tell the truth. Stand for what's right, but in a right good spirit, a right good way. And may we not be insightful by our actions. If our words or what we bear from the Lord incite somebody, then there it is. But may Jim not be insightful because of Jim. Okay? And may the Lord help us in that. Verse 16. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled with therewith and vomit it. Don't get sick eating too much of Stephen or Cecil's honey. Eat enough and enjoy it. It's good, because when they break it out, it's rare. No, I falsely accuse them. But eat enough. Don't eat too much. you can make yourself sick. Verse 27, it is not good to eat much honey because it'll make you sick. And so even Solomon gives instruction like that. Verse 17, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. Remember, I don't know about you, but remember when you're young and you found that new friend. I found a new friend on the bus on the way to school. And I wanted to go and visit with that friend all the time. Jimmy, Mom would say, you'll wear out your welcome. Have you ever heard that? That comes from the Scripture. And we need to be hospitable, and we need to indeed open our homes and be neighborly, especially to the household of faith. We do. But we need to beware. Don't wear out your welcome, because we can wear out our welcome. And Solomon tells us, the Lord tells us so. Verse 18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow, a divider. A divider. Make certain of your source. And of course, we don't need to be liars. This is speaking directly about bearing false witness. You know, lying is one thing about self, and it's sinful and wicked, and we shouldn't be engaged in it. But that commandment, one of the Ten Commandments says, is don't bear false witness against your neighbor. And that lying on somebody else, when you're talking about the category and subject of lying, and talking about that subject, lying on somebody is top of the heap for God's displeasure, anger, and the wickedness of it. And one that does so against their neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Nothing but damage. But then as we consider about what we would tell, may we make certain of the information that we have. And if we need to find something out about a situation, may we go to the source. Certainly go to the source before we act on anything. Because we can be found. We may not be wanting to tell a lie on somebody. But if I repeat a thing in a certain way to certain ones and it not be found to be true, I can be found to be a divider. And may the Lord help us to remember that. Verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. We referred to this in verse number 5 about taking away the wicked from before the king. And what we saw here earlier too about, let me find it here, about the one that we... Would be sent with a message. Oh, I want to find that. You send a messenger. I know it's right here, and I can't see it. Thank you. Thank you. I was looking at the snow and the harvest. Yeah, see, a faithful messenger is refreshing, but an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Yeah, broke. I don't know if you've had a broken tooth. I've been blessed to not have one. Those that I know that have, can be painful. What about a foot out of joint? I mean, that means detached bones in the foot. You think you get real far on that? You think that would hurt? Yes. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble. So there's a calamity at hand. There's a necessity at hand. And all that there is an unfaithful man at hand. Verse 20, or chapter 26 and verse 6. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. Wow, boy, that's all that's left is one that's foolish, that's silly, can't remember what's said, forgets about their message to carry it, can't tell it straight, may not even get there. It's like cutting off the feet. It's like drinking damage, drinking poison. May we be found faithful. May we be one that can help in the time of trouble. May we understand these principles. Verse 20, as he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. music, we need to understand music is physical. That's the reason you tap your foot. Or you might do more than that. You might start moving around. Music is physical. It's just that way. I think music is a special thing that God has made and for mankind, and that we are certainly are susceptible to. I mean, why is there so much music played over the airwaves and in every form? And yes, some animals can make music, but man can make music, and the Lord's blessed with that, and there's singing that we'll be doing, I believe, in glory, and that we've even been reading about in the book of the Revelation. But not only is music physical, but it's emotional, isn't it? Music is emotional. When some of our children were young, there were some songs we could turn on, and they would start crying. Music is emotional. It is that way. It will stir us. And then music is also spiritual. Music has a spiritual impact too. And so here, there's a heavy heart at hand. And so, and there's one, what do? They just put it on and twist this one with a heavy heart. They sing those sad songs. And you know what that is? It's like taking away a garment in cold weather. That's mean, isn't it? To take away a garment in cold weather? I mean, to steal it, to take it away. Or like pouring vinegar on nitre. I should have warned our resident chemist, and he could help us out with this, right? If they're talking about acetic acid on sodium bicarbonate, soda, baking soda, what do you get? Big fizz, bunch of gas, and what's left over is nasty. Nasty, nasty. Is that right? Yeah, so that's the way it is for one that sings songs to a heavy heart. Wonder about some professional singers and the songs that they have developed. Not good. Verse 21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. But not if you're saying, I'm heaping coals, I'm heaping coals, I'm heaping coals. If that's what you're thinking, if that's what you and I are thinking, we blow the blessing. But we should pity those that are in need. And not look down our nose, okay? But if there's a need and we can meet the need, we need to meet it. Even if it's our enemy. Remember what it says in chapter 24, verse number 17. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. And let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. He did me dirty, and now this is going on with him. Ha, 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 he's getting his just rewards. You know, the Lord, if that is of the Lord, he'll turn that off for a bad attitude. We need to rather pray for those that are hurting. For those that are ill, those that are sick, we need to pray. We need to pray that the Lord will bless them with good things like he blesses us with good things. And help like he blesses us with help in time of trouble. And not be looking for those coals to be heaped. That will happen and the Lord will take care of that. May we do well. May we do well even to our enemy. Verse 23, the north wind driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. You've heard it. The weatherman says the system is carrying moisture up from the south. Right? Isn't that the way it works? But that north wind, if that north wind sounds like the jet stream is going to drop south on us in the next couple of days. And if it gets far enough south, they'll have something south of us. Otherwise, if it hangs around right here and that south moisture comes up, we might have snow. And I think there is a forecast for snow, so they're going to meet. But the north wind driveth away rain. Even Solomon understood that. And evidently that's the case over there in Israel, isn't it? Verse 24, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. That little corner on the housetop must be a flat roof, huh? But the roofs that we the roofs the roofs that we have, you don't have much of a corner. You'd kind of be hanging on by your fingernails, wouldn't you? But on the houses that they had then, he says it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman. This word brawling again is contentious. Other references are there. And the thing is may we make certain that contentions at hand are not justified. Okay, and we've dealt with this. If the contentions at hand by someone that we love, may we deal with them well and not make a bad situation. Because a bad situation is just bad. And we don't need to cultivate that. Some people operate in a realm, in a way of torment. They torment even their family, and that's just no good. The home needs to be a place of safety and respite from the world, and not contention at hand. Verse 25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so would good news from a far country. We say no news is good news, and I think that's a good way to be. But when there is good news that comes from a long way away, it's just like cold water is to a thirsty soul. You're thirsty. The thirstier you are, the better that cold water tastes, huh? It's like good news coming from a far country. Verse 26. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. We need to be careful and understanding about this meaning here. This man falling down, that's the Hebrew word. It's talking about wavering or slipping, or as it says here, falling. We, as the children of God, have our conversation, you know, what we think, say, and do. And if we claim the name of Christ, and that's understood, it's understood, if a right understanding of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ and being touched by God means that we're on a narrow way. And there's a witness that we have that's going out. It's not whether we're being a witness or not. We are being a witness. Is it a good one or a poor one? Is it a witness for Christ or is it a witness for the way of the world? And so one that says that they're the Lord's and saved by the Lord, if they are caught up, if we are found to be caught up in wickedness before the wicked, it is indeed we are found to be a troubled fountain or a corrupt spring. It's a bad thing. May God help us. Now, in Proverbs 24, we saw this in verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Now, understand about that falling is that's the onslaught of the world and Satan and the wickedness of men and enemies that we've read about. They coming at the child of God and hurting and compromising and seeking to thwart the way of the child of God. And you know what? Because we are the Lord's, as He's pleased, He'll cause us to raise up. The enemy will try, and the enemy will marvel that how in the world does this one continue? Well, it's because of the Lord, isn't it? But may we not be caught up in wickedness. We compromise our witness. We compromise the honor that we've gained. In our case, like being in the Lord's church and such as that, there's a honor and a standing that we gain by years of faithfulness. And we're not perfect. We're not sinless. We get caught up in some public thing, some wicked sin. It's a bad testimony to the lost and dying world around us. And may we guard our hearts, and may God help us and keep us. I pray often that the Lord would keep us from the evil. We need to. I'm susceptible. I can go a wicked way. I've got it in me. And may God keep me. May God keep us. Verse 27. It is not good to eat much honey. We know that. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. We live in a day, and we've seen it with leaders of our nation over the recent decades, about building up and fashioning and sculpting the legacy that they want to have. It's not legitimate. It's not praise in its right place. Reminding, one that reminds folks of what they've done. Desiring the accolades of men rather than the timely promotion of God. Only the timely promotion of God is what lasts and is eternal and good. And may the Lord help us to see that. We live in a self-promoting day. Verse 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And so, in the context of the day Solomon lived, you know, they would build cities and they'd build a wall about the city when it was of a certain size, and the wall would be a protection. The wall, or as the Lord said, you know, cities even were set on hills, right? That was something that they could relate to and that we can relate to too, for the sake of the protection. It would be a light for the traveler that would be at night. They could see that city and they could go the way to it. But one that has no rule over his spirit, his own spirit is the Hebrew word here. It's speaking about breath, the inward man. It's talking about even the wind, the blast, anger. Don't have any rule over that. Like a city that's compromised. Like a city that has its wall broken down. No temperance. No self-control. It is not a virtue to brag about our tempers. It is indeed a shame. It's one thing, as James tells us in James chapter 5. Let's take a look over here and we'll close. James 5. It is one thing, in James 5, verse number 16, it says to the children of God, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's one thing for us to confess our faults one to another, but it's another for us to brag about our sin. May God help us so we not brag about our sin. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Hope that these have been a blessing and a help to you. And as we continue on, we're coming to the close of our look-see in this book. And may the Lord help us and bless us in it as we continue, and we might understand and have the mind and thinking of God in us. You know, I will be blessed. It's very simple, but it's true. We will be very blessed if we believe like Jesus believes. Jesus believes something. God believes something, doesn't he? And if we'll believe that, if we'll line up with that, we'll be blessed, won't we? And if we think we have the standards and the belief, the way things that God knows that they are, if we'll have that within us, it'll be a blessing to us. And if we think and operate the way the Lord does, it'll be a blessing to us. That's how we line up with Him. And those things are not salvation. Salvation is in Christ through repentance and faith and visitation of the Lord upon the sinner. But these things that are given to us in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, as said in the Sermon on the Mount, If we think the way the Lord thinks and believe what He believes, we will be helped and we will be blessed. And as a child of God, it's incumbent upon us to do so and be so. That's what we've been called to. Have we not been called to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and His likeness? That's what the Lord's purpose and plan in us is. May the Lord help us in that. May we be able to reckon and block out those things that we receive from the world. May we compare them with what the Word of God says, and if it's against the Word of God, may we reject it. So things creep in so easily. May the Lord help us in that.